Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or jeffweilercolumbusautomall.com.
You're listening to Ian Stone's Comedy Breakfast, the podcast edition. I'm here on Love Sport Radio every weekday morning at 6:30. This morning, I was joined by the former Palace and Charlton midfielder, Paul Mortimer. Jan Vertonghen, he got injured. Was it the back of Adebayor's head, or was it an elbow? Because I couldn't quite tell.
Yeah, it looked like he might have got a bit of both. But
yeah, very, very nasty clash. You could see Adebayor was okay, but Vertonghen was in a bit of a mess. A lot of blood. 5 minutes, they stitched him up. They got him all sorted. They have a look at him on the touchline. The referee then comes over and says, I'm not happy. I want another examination of him. They make that examination. They say he's fine. He goes back on. And then half a minute later, his hand's up and he goes, I can't continue. And then his legs go from under him. And he's basically having to be carried off by the staff at Spurs. Now, first of all, the Spurs doctor must have examined him when he came off. I know that Dawn Astle, who we've spoken to on this show, whose dad, Jeff, died of a brain illness caused by repeated head in the ball and concussion and all that stuff. She tweeted that she couldn't believe what she was seeing. I was a bit shocked because I thought there was a protocol with these things.
Yeah, I'm truly, I understand where Dawn Astle's coming from, but I have to believe that the medical staff followed the protocol. I have to believe that, in a game of such magnitude, in fact, put the game to one side. The game is irrelevant. If this has happened, I'm sure you cannot ask the player if he's okay. You have to be able to ascertain that yourself. And then
he didn't look okay.
But then after that, what I didn't see, maybe I missed it, was them allow him to run and sprint up the sidelines. Because you have to test him. I mean, as far as I saw, he just came straight back on the pitch after the test, tried to run about and couldn't.
Yeah.
You've got to perform every test. Make him run up and down the touchline. I don't care what's going on. You have to be, the thing with that is, you have to be 100% certain in your mind that he is okay. You cannot legislate for the delayed reaction. Maybe there's something delayed happened there. I don't know. You can't legislate for that.
The running up and down thing seems like a good idea, really, because in the end, that's what you're going to have to do. So we want to see if you're able to, if your head is able to handle that. And it would have very, very quickly became apparent that it wasn't. That would be the end of that. I'm sure there will be repercussions with this stuff. I'm sure that they will look once again at this protocol. Or maybe they just didn't follow it as well as they should. I actually don't know, but I'm sure they're going to look at it.
I think the one thing I will say is they'll be discussing it today. The doctor will have to explain himself. He will have to explain exactly why he allowed a player to go back on the pitch. And seconds later, this is what happens. So hopefully, I genuinely hope he's followed every protocol, ticked every box. Because then after that, you can't really legislate for anything if you've covered the criteria you're supposed to. In such a short space of time as well.
We hope that Jan Vertonghen is okay. Yeah. I mean, the specialist apparently was looking at him in the dressing room and I haven't heard any more since then. Jamie has come in. He's got some stories from the front pages.
Yeah, the front page of The Sun today. Percy Killing is the headline. It's about M&S Percy pigs. And they're going vegetarian now. They've taken all the gelatin out of them.
Right.
And people are not happy.
Are people not happy, or is it just one person who's not happy, who just particularly likes gelatin?
The editor of The Sun, maybe. Yeah. No, people are livid.
Are they?
Yeah. Do anything you want, but don't change the recipe of the Percy pigs. Because
there's so many things to get livid about, isn't there?
I've tasted them. They're all right. I mean, the thing about it is, I can't see what the complaint is, because the original Percy pigs are there. All they're giving you is choice. You don't have to have them.
No, they're not. No, you do now. That's the thing. So they've had the vegetarian ones for a while, but now they're stripping the normal Percy pigs of the gelatin as well.
I've not seen that. Wherever I've been, there's been there's been up to yesterday. There's been choice.
They were all discarded yesterday afternoon, about 5 o'clock. Into a big skip, and that was the end of it.
Were you buying some Percy pigs yesterday? Were you, Mort?
No, I always look. I'm shopping. I always look.
What, to see the Percy pigs?
Yeah, because wherever you go shopping, if you go M&S, they're always on the front. You can't miss them.
All right. I'm not denying you noticed them.
Mort has been on Percy pig watch.
I have been on Percy pig watch. Yeah, I noticed stuff like that.
Anyway.
I'm eagle-eyed.
Anyway, now they're all veggie.
Now they're all veggie, yeah.
Whatever next, eh? Whatever next. You know what I'm going to say. I'm not going to say it, all right? We don't have to. Sometimes it's better not to.
Just implied. The problem is, I think, I don't mind that, but you should have choice. That's what it should be. You can't strip them all away because not everyone is vegan or vegetarian.
Yeah. True, there should be an actual pig on a spit. A pink pig on a spit just going round. You could just take lumps out of it. That's what they should. You should be able to slaughter one in Marks and Spencer's in the food hall. Yeah, just for us meat eaters. What about us? Hey, what else you got?
Yeah, well, actually, speaking of that very thing, Ed Miliband has been accused of hypocrisy because he's told us to stop eating so much meat. And he famously likes a bacon sandwich, does Ed, doesn't he?
Well, he had a bacon
sandwich. Oh, he loves them.
Now he's going to have to eat vegetables like the rest of us.
Yeah.
He's going to have to bump. So he said we should eat more meat, Miliband.
Yeah, he did.
Strange thing to say.
Well, he wants us to help the environment.
That doesn't help the environment, does it? Eat more meat?
Eating less meat.
He said eat less meat, because of course he was pictured with a bacon sandwich, so therefore it's hypocrisy. Yes. Sorry, I was really slow on the uptake there. It's early. The coffee's arrived. I'll understand these stories soon. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, no, everyone's going, hang on a minute. You love your bacon, mate, so how can you tell us not to eat meat? And he says, all right, calm down. I just mean we don't have to be completely vegan, but just cut down a little bit. And then he's going, also, should fly less. And they're going, hang on a minute, you went to America, Italy, Spain, and Iceland in the past year. So don't talk to me about your carbon footprint, Ed.
Can I ask a question? Why do we take these kind of things seriously? These MPs are so detached from the real world. You've got them coming down from the mountain to preach to us, average Joes, about what we should be eating. Listen,
well, I'm not
mate,
sure.
Go and do one.
With his mouth full of bacon.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I understand the point you're making, but he's not wrong, is he? We should fly less and we should eat less meat. Yeah, shouldn't we?
If he's doing that, if he's telling us that, he has to live it as well.
Well, I don't think he was telling us that. I think he was just making a suggestion, wasn't he?
Yeah, right.
It's not like what Ed Miliband said. We can't fly anymore. I don't want to hear his suggestions.
I'm not interested in his suggestions.
Right.
Well, he shouldn't be. If he actually cares that much about the environment, he perhaps shouldn't have taken 4 holidays in the past.
And he should stop eating the pig.
You're right.
He says he has ditched it now, to be fair to him.
Right.
Probably since that whole bacon episode.
I can't imagine I'll ever eat a bacon and sandwich in public again after that. That was one of the main things that lost the election. Imagine where we'd be if Ed hadn't eaten a bacon sandwich now. We would. It'd be chaos. That's what they said. Imagine chaos under Ed Miliband as opposed to what we've got now. That's true.
Yeah. Well, speaking of being good for the environment, actually, they're thinking of banning ice cream vans in certain areas. Camden Council have been the first to put up signs in 40 streets saying, don't sell your ice creams here. Actual sign says, no ice cream trading. Because the pollution that the ice cream vans give off is going to go into kids' lungs and cause asthma.
I suppose so. What, because the kids go up to this van that has got his engine running.
Mm-hmm.
Does it have to keep the engine running to sell the ice cream?
They do tend to, don't they?
Keeps
it cold.
Right. Does it keep it cold? Keeps the fridges running. All the ice cream melts. It's either the environment or the ice cream. We got our choice, kids. What do you want? All right. And the kids go up to these vans, running exhaust fumes and all the rest of it.
Yep.
And they have their ice cream and they have premature deaths years later.
Exactly.
Do you want an ice cream? Well, you're going to die early. How do you feel about that? Have your ice cream now, son. I mean, it's not easy, is it?
But I don't understand that because in my experience growing up, we're all inner city kids anyway, right?
Mm.
So we get our ice cream, we walk across, you know, the main road through loads of traffic to get back to our council estate. This is where I was from anyway, where there were so many cars that what the ice cream van's gonna is the tipping point.
Well,
is it?
That's true, that is the thing that tipped me over here. Yeah. What did you do? Did you send your servants? you send Jeeves, go and get us an ice cream. Jeeves, always Jeeves. Jeeves, go and get us. You can worry about the traffic and the fumes. I'm staying in here with my mask on.
We made our own.
You made
our
own.
Oh my god. Jeeves.
Yeah, okay. All right.
So Camden Council, Westminster as well. I know that's a good point, Mort. So you'd have thought there's enough pollution anyway. That why would that make the difference? I suppose because the vans are quite old and kids do loiter around them.
So get up to date vans. I mean, the ice cream van, the ice cream man or woman is part of our culture. It's a huge part of our culture.
It's not that much of a part of our culture.
Well, it used to be.
Yeah, but I know. We'll get it back. Brexit, we'll get them back. Blue passports and exhaust spewing ice cream vans.
No,
that's
up
what
to
we
date.
Want to go back
up
to. Let's electric.
Electric, exactly. Electric. That'll kill them off.
Just basically a fridge on wheels, essentially. All right.
That's all right.
Sounds like a nice idea. Okay. Thanks, Jamie.
This is Love Sport.
Joining us now is a former Liverpool defender and friend of the show, Nick Tanner. Morning, Nick.
Morning, guys. How are
morning.
You?
Morning. Great. Thank you very, very much. Now, we're going to see how good Liverpool are tonight, right?
Yeah. I think it's going to be a fantastic game. Barcelona, probably the best or have been the best over the last 10 or 15 years. So, be interesting to see what sort of performance they put on and how far Liverpool have come from like the final last season, even would probably be near enough the same team, I would have thought. Like we said, keep saying the different goalkeeper. So we'll see how far they come. I think it'll be River back to his tried and tested midfield, a bit more conservative in midfield rather than playing Keita to start off with and try and keep it tight over there, which is probably impossible. But we'll see.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask, I know you've spoken, you just alluded to one or two things, the mindset, because I get a sense they play one way, Liverpool. I mean, I watched Man City, first leg against Spurs, literally concede, play not to get beat. I don't know if Liverpool can do that, especially with those three up front. What do you think their mindset will be? Will it change at all?
No, I don't. I'm exactly with you, Paul, on that one. I don't think they can change. I think that's what where people get confused with, why is our midfield so conservative? Why are they, you know, at the start of the season with Gary Neville and Jamie Carragher, you know, having a go, and Graham Souness and that, saying we need more creativity in midfield. You can't have everything. The fullbacks bomb on the three up front. You're just leaving the Virgil van Dijk on his own, basically defending, which happened last season, if you remember. And then suddenly we got some holding midfield players, and the fullbacks didn't bomb so much. But I think if they're going to go over there and try and score, definitely. But like you said, Morris, I don't think they can defend. And I don't think Barcelona can play any other way as well. At least you know what's going to come from them. It's going to be all action stuff, a bit like the Harlem Globetrotters, I suppose, coming at you. But again, they're not very good at the back. At least we've got half decent defence now to sort it out. But it's going to be a cracking game.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think any team with Gerard Piquet in is not terrible at the back. But I understand the point you're making. And Ter Stegen's not a bad goalkeeper either, by the way. There's also been some nonsense going on in the town square. You were talking to some people being pushed in fountains or something. We hope it doesn't get any worse than that.
It's ridiculous, isn't it? You know, it's grown men as well when you see how old they are and think it's funny to just chuck the locals in the fountain. And then, obviously, then poor innocent people get injured by the police running in. You see tweets saying, oh, the police are heavy-handed again, not seeing that, hang on a minute, they've just saw these idiots throwing people in fountains and stuff. So it's absolutely ridiculous. You know, grown men can't go on a little trip abroad and have a few beers. And there was trouble outside the Tottenham game as well, so let's get it into balance. There was fighting outside, but I actually seen that on Twitter as well.
Yeah.
What is the matter with people? Just go to the game and watch the football, for God's sake.
Well, quite. Back to the game. Liverpool facing a couple of their old stars, really. Philippe Coutinho and Luis Suarez. They're going to have to be very on their game to stop those two, as well as Lionel Messi.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. They were trying to ask Klopp how to stop Messi. He said, hang on a minute, what about the rest of them? It is that literally a team thing. I know we were talking about Ajax. I heard you chatting about them and how good they are playing. They're a team as well. If you look at the guys, they couldn't hold places in Premiership teams that are doing really well for them. So it's a team game. And no way, shape or form are Barcelona just a one-man team going forward, especially. Coutinho's probably been a little bit disappointing since he went there, but I'm sure he wants to prove a lot of people wrong, and as for Luis Suarez, well, you know, he's fantastic what he did for Liverpool, and I saw somebody mention that he dragged all the players on, and I think he does as well, but he's be interesting to see him against Van Dijk as well with a few challenges and how he gets on. It's just hope he don't go back to his old antics and start diving around. And what we don't want to see is silly penalties and stuff. Even both teams, Salah, Mane, you know, and all that. We don't want any play acting. Let's just have a proper game of football.
That, I think, so say all of us. Well said, Nick. Nice to speak to you.
Speak to you soon.
See you soon. Nick Tanner, the former Liverpool defender there, talking about Liverpool who take on Barcelona at the Nou Camp tonight. I mean, I think what Nick was saying there about that midfield is where it, that's the important battle, really. And that is why I think, you know, Wijnaldum, Henderson and Milner possibly will start, because that's the midfield he goes
soldiers.
To.
Soldiers. You need soldiers in there.
That's the midfield he goes, because he knows there's not a lot of creativity from midfield, but he knows that Alexander-Arnold and Andy Robertson, in the right moment, can bomb on, and then you've got five going forward. Yeah. Basically,
you look at Barcelona, and they're very similar to Liverpool with the fullbacks. I think it's Jordi Alba on the left is magnificent going forward. Yeah. So, but will he, if Sadio Mane or Salah stay up? I don't know. I mean, I think it's set up lovely. One of the things that I think also plays in Liverpool's favour is, I can't remember the last time they didn't score in a game. So I believe they will score.
Liverpool have won, I think, about 11 games on the trot, haven't they?
I believe they will score.
7 or 8 in the league, and they won their last two Champions League games as well. I think Liverpool might score
They'll score.
But I think if you were looking at these teams, you go, there isn't a lot of difference between the two teams except for Lionel Messi.
Lionel Messi is the difference.
We all look forward to watching
but
him.
But it's not about both games, because if you remember in the last round, he was very muted in the first game. And then turned up in the second game, and that was it. So, as well as they do in this game, okay, Messi could have a quiet game.
And
okay?
He, by the way, when he was very muted, he still made the only goal.
He still made the only goal of the game, but he was muted. The thing about it is, that only happens in one of the two games. Yeah. And it doesn't matter home or away, because like you say, you saw Messi play. I saw that game at Wembley and took your breath away.
Yeah,
it really did.
Yeah,
you know,
and like I say, I'm not bothered either way. I just want to see a game.
But I fancy Liverpool big time.
All right, then we shall see.
Love sports.
Jamie has come in with some stories from inside the newspapers. What have you got? The Daily Mail there.
I've got the mail here. Yeah, is that right by you?
Yeah, it's absolutely fine by me. You seem to have lost the front page though.
Yeah, it seems like I have, but luckily I didn't need that page.
Oh, what have you got?
Well, we're used to paying 5p, 10p for a plastic bag these days. Well, if you're a fan of Victoria Beckham. And her label.
Oh, massive.
Yeah?
Yeah, love her stuff.
Well,
I'm wearing it now.
I was going to compliment you.
Thank you.
You're in luck, because you can get your hands on a £795 bag, which looks like a carrier bag.
That's what you want?
That's exactly what I'd want.
It's £800.
Why?
Because it's
a Victoria Beckham, mate. Why do we ask him why? It's his fashion.
Yeah,
it's the biggest pile of old nonsense you've ever heard.
So she's got,
I just don't get it.
She's got a flagship London store, and you get given this certain type of carrier bag from that store. And now she's made a bag which has a lamb's wool lining, which basically looks like the carrier bags that you get given, but will set you back £800.
Yeah.
If I spend 800 quid on a bag, I don't want it to look like a carrier bag. I just don't.
No.
I don't get
that.
You want
it to look like, I don't know, like a gold.
Yeah.
It would have to be a solid gold bag that you can put your shopping in. And they said, do you want the bag for 800 quid or I'll just have a 5p one. So, thank you very much. Just a regular plastic bag. I mean, it does seem a bit ridiculous to spend thousands of quid in the top and then not putting in a nice bag. Because I do find, aside from when you go to those, you know, when you go to the little corner shops and you get a bit of fruit and veg and they put it in one of those horrible bags,
the
stripy ones, pink or blue. You can't
got
be
loads of them at home.
Yeah, you can't be putting a Victoria Beckham top in one of those, because that would be wrong to walk out of the shop. I would, if I owned the shop, I wouldn't allow you to walk out of the shop with one of those bags with an £800 jacket in or something. But on the other hand, you also don't want to spend £800 on a bag that looks like a 5p bag. That sounds ridiculous.
Would you want to do that?
Yeah, I'm not sure how successful. Fashion, if I haven't sold it to you yet, what about this? It is made. It is made with white napa that has been.
What's that?
Don't know.
Right, napa.
Napa, N-A-P-P-A.
Oh, napa.
Made from smooth white napa.
That clears it up then.
That's been lined with cotton for an extra soft feel. That is what you want from a bag.
It is. That's the only bags I'll carry. Napa with cotton and lined for a soft feel. and moistened with baby's tears.
Yeah, that sort of stuff.
What are you lot going on about?
I don't think I really want that bag. No, I'll be honest with you.
All right.
But like I say, high fashion is not my thing. Yeah. Not really.
If you come in tomorrow carrying your lunchbox in one of those bags, I know you've popped over to our store straight after the show.
Lunchbox.
Lunchbox.
That's a great word. Yeah. Anyway, go on.
Anyway, yeah, Instagram is thinking about getting rid of the likes tally.
Yeah.
To cut teenage stress, which I think is a good idea. Because there's a massive pressure now on Instagram. You know, you can like it, you click a little heart button on the computer, and that means you've liked that person's picture.
And you're saying that if people don't get enough likes, they get a bit stressed out by the whole thing.
Exactly, and people definitely do compare, oh, you know, she got that many likes for that photo, he got this many. It's become a bit of a thing, like the pressure on someone to get enough likes takes away from the whole thing, which... it should be about, which is just about putting nice pictures of stuff up for your friends to see.
You know, the thing is, I'm a stand-up comedian. I sort of survive on likes, if you like, right? I mean, people laughing is my likes.
Yeah.
And I need it on a nightly basis. I do. So I can't really talk about that being needy. But for teenagers, for young kids, I think that is a problem. I think it is. So, yeah, it sounds like a good idea.
Yeah, so you'll still be able to see how many likes you've got yourself. But it won't be public, so no one else will be able to see you. So there's not the pressure of thinking, oh, everyone's seen that I've only got 6 likes for this photo.
I like that idea.
Yeah.
Ironically.
There is a Black Mirror episode, actually, which is what you're saying there, you survive on likes, which is that everything you do, you get likes from the public. And then if people don't like the way you act, then you get demoted in the social scale and stuff like that.
That's
so it's
my life. Yeah. That is actually my
life.
The
whole thing is just so sad, though, isn't it, when you sort of step back and reflect on it.
It's
being liked by people you don't know.
Yeah, or don't being considered a racist by people you don't know.
Are you going to let that go?
No, of course I'm not going to let that go. But that's what it is. It is that. It's strangers.
No, those two things are different.
It's strangers judging you. And
but you squinted. You gave him the look.
You shouldn't be squinting.
I know. I'm going to have to get... No,
I've seen that look. It's been debatable in here.
I've got to put my glasses on.
It's too late now.
Oh my God, you're black. I never knew that. You never told me that, Jamie. Oh my God. Anyway.
Anyway, donkeys don't like bad weather.
Donkeys?
Donkeys don't like bad weather. Horses are fine with it.
Are they?
Yeah, but they've done a bit of research into this at Portsmouth University.
I'm glad they're researching important stuff like this.
You found that...
if it's snowing, only take your horse out.
Yeah.
Leave your donkey at home. They don't like that.
Exactly. I mean,
donkeys lean there, go, I don't want to go out in that. That's more of a mule, isn't it?
Is it?
Yes, it is.
I haven't got
a... Anyway.
You know the difference between a mule and a donkey noise?
A mule and a donkey noise? No, I don't really. No. I don't. I mean, anyway, donkeys don't like bad weather. That's what I don't do, donkey rides in the winter on the beach.
Well, do they not? Well, that's because no one's at the beach.
No one's. Well, there's that as well.
Yeah.
That might be the other reason. But the donkeys are in their pen or whatever you keep donkeys in.
Yeah.
And they go, no, not going out.
Pretty much, yeah. Horses are thought to have been domesticated in the temperate regions of Eurasia, while domestic donkeys domestic donkeys originated from the African areas.
Right.
So they were used to the warm weather and don't actually like it when it's raining.
Sometimes when I watch TCM, you know the film channel, they show a few old movies on there.
No, he doesn't know what TCM is.
I wouldn't go on that channel.
You wouldn't. I watched Carve Her Name with Pride the other day. Have you seen that one?
No,
Virginia McKenna.
I know it.
As a lady spy who it's a very, very sad ending.
Is it?
Spoiler
alert.
Spoiler alert, yeah. Anyway, yeah, that's right, because people are watching that as much as they're watching Endgame at the moment.
Apart from you.
Anyway, but in between the films, in between, the adverts, they show this really sad advert about donkeys. Really sad.
Yeah,
you can pay money. No, I don't like it either. You can pay money to a donkey sanctuary, and I haven't yet, but I don't like the advert. I find it very upsetting.
Not enough to start paying money to the donkey sanctuary.
But I must say, even when their donkeys are overworked, they're always in good weather. So, you know, it's one thing loading them up with a load of bricks and putting them to work, but it's another thing taking them out when it's a bit chilly.
Yeah, exactly.
As it turns out. Yeah, okay.
New rules for Wimbledon. New prize money, £45,000 for losing in the first round.
Right.
Soften the blow, wouldn't it?
Yeah, well, I mean, there was an issue, wasn't there, last year at Wimbledon, the year before, when a lot of players who weren't fit were just turning up and just playing a couple of games and then retiring just to get 40 grand or something.
Yeah.
But that does nothing. Putting the money up does nothing to alleviate that problem.
But I think they've changed the rules on that, haven't they? I'm not sure whether they've said if you pull out during the first game, then you don't get your prize money. Yeah. But they've done something to try and stop players turning up, limping around, and then pulling out.
Test. I think they fitness tested them. I think it's more stringent on a fitness test.
Right. Okay. Right. Fair enough. Sign of
the popularity of Wimbledon. It's saying here total prize pot for this year has risen by 11%. Total of 38 million.
They make so much money. The
winners get 2.35 million.
Listen, it's a global tennis tournament. It's one of the four Grand Slams. It's basically the same sort of prize money as the other three Grand Slams. And these guys are super. Men and women. They're superstars. So why not?
Yeah.
Why not?
True.
It's very expensive to go. It's quite expensive to go down there, but it's definitely worth a day out. I absolutely love it.
Yeah. Other new changes to the Wimbledon. Matches tied at 12 all in the final set. We'll go into a tiebreak.
Well, this is the John Isner effect, isn't it?
Yeah.
And who was the other guy? Is it Kevin Anderson?
And the first one in 2010 Mahou. Was against Mahou, yeah.
Yeah, 72-70 or something it was in the final set. Now, we can't have that, although I watched that Kevin Anderson game. I watched that last set and a half. And
every minute of it.
Yeah, I was sat there because it's slightly, there's something mesmeric about watching that going on. And it every time that the player who was receiving would get to 30, you go, ooh. And then it'd be four aces, thud. And that'd be the end of that. And then you carry on. There was something really cool about it, actually.
It was the longest day ever, though, wasn't it? I mean, I was out. I was going to meet my daughter.
And by the time she finished, she'd grown up.
I'm telling you, I left as the game. I watched the first set, okay? Went to meet my daughter. She was late, an hour late.
Yeah.
I'm listening to it on the radio, and she's late. It's still going. Yeah. So I go and do my business, come back, listen to the radio. It's still going.
Yeah,
was she watching the game?
I think she probably was.
She was watching.
Sorry, Dad. I'll just keep watching this.
Yeah, it was more important than meeting you.
I thought we finished in 10 minutes. Yeah. Anyway, they're changing that.
And also, they've received some criticism about the amount of plastic used at the tournament. So they've taken steps to reduce it. 4,500 plastic bags used to wrap players' restrung rackets are going to be scrapped.
And they're going to replace them with 800-pound Victoria Beckham plastic bags. Okay, fair enough. Yeah. Well, I can't wait to get my goodies in an 800-pound bag.
Love sports.
Let's talk to the former Spurs defender, Paul Miller. Good morning, Paul.
Morning, Jack.
Morning. Good to speak to you. I mean, I think Rio Ferdinand makes a very fair point there. You take 44 goals out of that team, and that would affect any team.
Of course, I mean, if you look at Liverpool with, you know, Marley and Salah out and City with Aguero and whoever, any of their three, really. Of course, it affects it and it affected us. But it wasn't the only reason that we lost last night. You know, we didn't start well.
No.
We were a bit flat. Richo said tactically we probably got it, you know, wrong a little bit. And the way Sissoko come on and played, he probably should have started. But I suppose that's... Sometimes it's the medical people telling the manager, well, you know, he's had an injury, we're not sure, whatever. You know, they cover themselves. The manager sometimes, I think, takes too much notice of medical people. Rather than, you know, the old days when the manager come and ask you, how do you feel? Do you think you can do 90 minutes? Yeah, I do. Well, I don't. You should know your own body anyway, you know. Mm. But when he came on, obviously, it changed the game.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm asking both of you guys this, right? Are the players the best judges when it comes to a Champions League semi-final when, of course, you'd want to play?
Of course, it depends on the player. You've got to know the player and his honesty and how he is. And obviously, you know players will tell you the absolute truth or not. But you know your own body better than the physio does.
Yeah.
You know whether you can play through it and whatever. You know, and Sissoko came on and played like he has all season. He's our player of the year. And you think, well, God, why didn't he start in the first place?
It's for the first time for me, Paul. I looked at Pochettino and thought he got his tactics wrong in the first half. And if they'd gone in maybe a couple down, no one could have complained. But Sissoko coming on made a huge difference. Got his tactics right in the second half. The only concern, like I say, is that they didn't really have many shots at goal. But this is for me is where Spurs are at their strength. The minute you not write them off, the minute they're in this situation where they have to pull out a result, is often where you see them at their best.
Yeah, I mean, look, as you said before, that, you know, when you're missing Harry Kane and Son, two world class strikers, you know, two of the best in the world, yeah. Premier League, yeah, you're going to miss them, and we certainly did. I thought Mauro Llorente did right. What we started to do, we started to play to Llorente's strengths. You know, he's not a Son or a Kane. He's a different type of player, and we started being more direct second half, and it worked for us. And sometimes, you know, you cut your cloth accordingly. I mean, the first half an hour, standing off Ajax and letting them play and pop it around was suicide. You know, I'm a note of my own days. You know, the first 10 minutes, we just used to get the ball forward as quick as we can, pressurise and get the crowd up, have a few shots, get it going, make it lively, especially when you're at home. Away, you want to kill the game. At home, you want to liven it up. And we didn't do that. Richo's taking blame, but, you know, your players have got to take responsibility. Say, look, let's not give them time on the ball. They're a young side. They like playing. We've got to put pressure on them. And we did that better second half, and luckily not to get a draw in the end. But you're right, Paul, the game could have been over in the first half an hour.
Yeah, I mean, after that first half an hour, there were plenty of Spurs fans who would have gone, do you know what, 1-0 is actually not a bad result to take in the second leg. Because Spurs are definitely not out of this tie, are they?
No, and I was with Alan Brazil and Ben Hoddle after, you know, two big pundits, and Ozzy and Ricky, all the few boys. And we were saying, like, you know, we in the semi-final, You can't win the tie, but you can lose it.
Yeah.
And we haven't lost it because you'd fancy to go across there and get a goal, you know? We'll take some magnificent support there. Whether they all get in is another question. But, I mean...
they'll have a good time in Amsterdam all the same, though, won't they?
Yeah, there'll be 15,000, 20,000 there, you know? It'll be amazing. But all I'm saying is that we'll go there confident. I mean, we went to Barca. And we've done it a lot in recent years. There's a lot of experience now in the team. I think Harry's got a real chance of being on the bench. He started running last Thursday. He looks good. I mean, you know, Paul nowadays, they keep themselves very fit. So even though there's a few weeks layoff, it ain't going to affect his fitness.
Mm-hmm. No.
So, you know, imagine bringing him on for the last 20 minutes if you need a goal. What an excitement that would bring to everyone. So, you know, and some playing and maybe being a bit more direct and pressurising. The ball's in our court ground. We've got to go for it. And you just say, sometimes with us, we're better doing that rather than the other way. And, you know, it's been a long season after the World Cup, but we're still in there. We're still third place. It's a miracle,
yeah.
Really.
Yeah.
And we're looking forward to it.
I think it's great stuff. Like I say, where you are, I think he's been a miracle worker. But this one-off game, which it is now, the thing about it is, I think... it's going to be about how... I don't think you'll be able to stop Ajax. I think they're a good side. I think they'll score. I think you'll just have to go for it. But I think it could be one of those magnificent Spurs nights again.
Well, I just think... I mean, Glenn was saying last night, you know, 1-0, extra time, even penalties. You know, who knows? You know what we're like. That's been Spurs for forever sort of thing, yeah? Always a drama. And I think if you said to everyone now, 1-0 and extra time, we'd take it, you know? but it's not, you know, 2-1, you know, it's a one-off game which you've got to win. And, you know, we saw what United did when PSG. These things happen in football, yeah? And it's not over. I think it had been 2 or 3, it was over.
Yeah.
It was finished.
Yeah.
This isn't over. 1-0, it's half-time, you know, and we're still in it. And we've got players to come back in. And I think we'd have learned some lessons last night as well. But also, thankfully, Yang looks okay. He walked out the stadium, he's fine. So... you know, he's got a bit of a gash, but a bit of a lead up, and he can play, yeah? So he was not so bad as it first seemed. But that's a positive.
Well, that's very pleasing. Thanks, Paul. Nice to speak to you.
Cheers, chaps.
See you soon. Former Spurs defender there, Paul Miller. They're definitely not out of it. They're not. We know that. And they will have learned some lessons. But do you know what? If they get away with it, and they will get away with it, then they'll have to... if they do play Liverpool or Barcelona in the final, that's a step up again. And they can't afford another half like they had in the first half, because otherwise they won't...
Ajax are a very good side, though.
But yeah, listen, I think Ajax are favourites now.
Yeah,
they are 60-40 favourites.
They've dealt with better sides. The last two rounds, no disrespect, better sides with better pedigree.
But they've been better... Ajax have been better away from home than they've been at home. This will give Spurs some hope for next
Spurs
Wednesday.
Spurs have to get them.
Yeah, they will get them, but I'm sure Spurs will come out the traps a lot quicker than they did yesterday. And as Paul said, they stood off them a little bit, and that was what was surprising.
Yeah.
And as exactly as you said, the way that Man City were at Spurs in the quarterfinal, Spurs were against Ajax in the semi.
It's almost like they didn't want to get beat. And
yeah.
And you know what? As a group, you recognise, like, you know, oh, they're not at it. And Ajax literally, to a man, recognised Sarne.
Jermaine Jenas saw it after 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. He's going, this is not right.
This is Love Sport.
There's also another story which is happening today. Later on, Caster Semenya, the Court of Arbitration in Sport, is expected to announce a verdict on one of on Caster Semenya and her right to compete as a woman. Basically, they have to decide whether she compete, whether she can compete as a woman, or whether she should have to take a testosterone suppressant in order to be able to compete, or whether they have a separate category, which is you have, and they also they don't want to call it men, women, and I think it what was the
A and other as well. You call it what
DSD,
you want.
DSD, which is difference in sexual development.
You might as well just put in it, you are different, because that is what you're saying. You're telling this woman that she's not a woman. That's basically what you're saying. In athletics, you are not a woman.
Well, only in athletics terms. They're not saying she's not a woman. They're saying that in athletics terms, because of her sexual development and the fact that she naturally has this testosterone occurring, naturally, by the way, we're not saying she's injecting it or anything like that, naturally occurring, therefore, it's not fair for you to compete.
But that's not two things. That's not her fault, number one. Number two, most athletes I know, okay, are defined by what they do. Okay, so, you know, footballers are defined. They define themselves by being footballers. Athletes do. By she's a female. She's a woman who runs in middle distance. Now, what you're saying to her is, in the area where she defines herself as a woman, she is not a woman. That's what you. That is what the law is going to say to her.
Yeah.
The emotional, mental damage that is going to do to her, you cannot imagine.
And what about the girls who are racing against her, who basically are at a disadvantage because they don't have these natural levels?
I totally understand that. The problem you have is
what about the damage to them? The fact that you're saying to them, yeah, you can compete, but you've got absolutely no chance of winning because there's this woman who is racing against you who has twice the level of testosterone you have.
I'm not going to dispute that. I understand that. The way it's been dealt with, the way it's been handled, I don't know another way to do it. I don't think this way is the right way because what's happened
this
is...
This way being what, making her inject testosterone?
What, making her inject herself?
Suppressant.
Because you don't know what that's going to do, the side effects or anything. It might dull her senses. It may not. It may take away the natural aspects of what she does well. You cannot tell. And also, how much of the dose is going to be right? Because we're all, as individuals, we're all completely different.
Well, there's a range.
We all react differently to what chemicals are put in our body.
You're right, of course. There's a range, isn't there? There's a range that is accepted by the Athletics Federation as being acceptable in terms of how much testosterone is running through a woman's body, and it's between this and this, and obviously Semenya has way more than that, so it has to be suppressed. Otherwise, I mean, they say that it only affects, by the way, the 400 metres, the 800 metres and the 1500 or the mile. That's it. Over that distance, it doesn't have the same effect. Yeah. So it's obviously that mixture of endurance and power that you get in those particular
races. I understand. I'm
races.
With you. I mean, I just...
It's
I
not
just
fair think, either way, is it?
No, it's... Do you know what? It's not. But the problem that's happened is, yet again, the minority is the one being marginalised. And that's the problem. And also, I mean, the other athletes don't treat her very well, from what I gather, which I think is poor, because it's not her fault. This is someone who...
It's not their fault either, though.
Well, No. They can't treat her the way they do. Isolating her, not talking to her. I don't think that's right. Because it's not her fault. This is who she is, okay? You just have to get on with it until the law changes. If the law changes, then you have to get on with it again.
Well, that's what this discussion...
This is going to be a difficult thing.
That's what this discussion is about, and whether we have three different categories. Basically, men and then women with a certain amount of testosterone and women with a much higher amount of testosterone. And maybe that's the only way to do this.
But
because
then who races in that category? Because if there aren't many women that race in that category...
Apparently, the winners, if you look at the winners of most of those middle distance events, the 800 and 1500, they are women with elevated levels of testosterone. So that's who races in those categories. Because, I mean, it was Lindsay Sharp, I think, who was complaining about it at the last Olympics. Mm. It's not fair on her either. I mean, you've got this dream to run at the Olympics and suddenly you're up against someone who is physically just more capable than you. I mean, sure, you could say that about 100 metres runners who run against Usain Bolt. What chance have you got? But
no, I likened it to the people who ran against Michael Johnson. It was like running for second place.
Yeah.
It literally was.
Yeah.
It was that good. They got on with it. There was no complaints. You just get on with it. Because I remember speaking to you and Thomas, we're running for second place. We know we're running for second place. 99.9% of the time, we are running for second place. They just had to find ways to deal with it.
Yeah.
And they got on with it.
Yeah. Jamie has come in with some stories from inside the newspapers.
Yeah, there's a story about a hedgehog hospital, which is quite an uplifting or heartwarming story.
Yeah.
Basically, these two schoolgirls, first of all, they just found a hedgehog and took it to their shed and thought, oh, we'll try and nurse it back to health.
Did it work?
And it worked. So
They nursed it back to health. Oh, okay.
And now it's been going for 4 years, and it's basically like a full-time hedgehog hospital in their garden shed.
I thought you meant the hedgehog has been going for 4 years. But anyway, now it's the hospital is now a full-time hedgehog hospital in the garden shed.
Yeah, which is nice, isn't it? Bruce Quillis and Amy Spinehouse were a couple of hedgehogs they've nursed back to health.
They really have to give them those names?
Yeah.
Because that doesn't help me think much of the hospital if they're going to use puns like that.
Well, what would you rather call them?
Well, just, you know, hedgehog names. Harry.
Roger.
Just something. No, not Roger. No, I'm not going down that road. Harry and something alliterative. Harry and Harriet. Hedgehog, I would suggest. Anyway, how many hedgehogs are in the hospital at the moment? Are they having trouble with funding? Are there queues? There's hedgehogs on gurneys in the corridor for 8 hours a day.
Been turned away.
Someone's being turned away. People not turning up. Hedgehogs not turning up for appointments. Is that what's happening?
They've nursed
4 hour waiting time on a hedgehog. It's outrageous. They've nursed how many?
400 back to health.
Are people bringing their hedgehogs from all over the country?
Pretty much, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, thanks to Brexit, they're going to get some extra money for their hedgehog hospital as well.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah. 350 million quid for hedgehog hospitals.
Yeah, perfect. And William Shakespeare, David Hasselhoff, or other hedgehogs.
Stop doing these puns, all right? Otherwise, I'm not involved in this story anymore. Anyway.
Tell the schoolgirls. But yeah, well done to them.
Well, I'm telling you, if you're listening. Well done to those girls.
Yeah.
How old are these girls?
They are 14. Are they 13 and 14?
Are they going to school? Are they just stopped all that?
This was over the summer, so the parents didn't have enough money to take them on hospital that year. So they said, "What are we going to do over the summer?" So they started a hedgehog hospital.
So what happens to the hedgehogs the rest of the year then, when the girls are at school?
That's a good point.
I mean, I'm just saying there are issues. Sorry, we'd love to treat you, but the nurses have to learn English and geography.
Yeah.
True. All right. Okay.
Game of Thrones. I'm not going to give away anything.
No,
I haven't watched it.
Don't.
So
I'm watching it.
Having nothing to give away anyway.
Love it.
Love it.
A lot of people have been moaning.
Did you watch it? A lot of people have been moaning that it was too dark.
Yes. You have to watch it in the dark.
Yeah, you do.
You can't have any extraneous light coming
watch
in.
It in.
Otherwise,
the dark.
It is a bit dark.
Watch it in the dark.
But you know what? They were having a fight with the Night King.
Oh.
You wouldn't have had that at 2 in the afternoon. Oh. That's the point.
Yeah, you should watch it.
But normally in dark scenes, you could still light enough for you to see it.
No, there were a couple of times when I was squinting. Don't get me started.
What?
But anyway,
it was
very, very dark. There's no getting away from it. It was.
Too black for you.
I'm not doing this. I'm absolutely not. It was, and people were complaining, but it was still one
brilliant.
Of the greatest
absolutely
things
brilliant.
I've ever seen on TV. My heart was going at the end. Oh, my God. But I'm not telling you the result.
Loved it.
All right.
Loved it.
Don't care anyway.
Yeah, you should.
Well, that's your loss, Jamie, because it's really one of the greatest things on television.
Love Sport.
Thanks for listening to the Ian Stone Comedy Breakfast Podcast Edition. I'm back every weekday morning, 6:30.
Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait, and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or jeffweilercolumbusautomall.com.
Are you missing the sounds that matter most? What if you could hear every word, every laugh, and every moment crystal clear without spending thousands on expensive hearing aids? Introducing Audionatum, the world's most affordable FDA-approved hearing aid. With the revolutionary A2 chip, you get premium sound, zero background noise, and a 24-hour rechargeable battery. They even have Bluetooth connectivity to connect to your cell phone or TV. Unlike those traditional bulky $5,000 prescription hearing aids, the Audionatum is 90% smaller, 20 times cheaper, and works instantly. No visits to the audiologist needed. Audie and Adam has over 500,000 happy customers who have trusted Audie and Adam to restore their hearing. Our 100% money-back guarantee means zero risk to try. Don't like them? Simply return them and get your money back. They also come with a lifetime warranty. For the next 72 hours, the Audie and Adam is 53% off. Go to tryhearingaid.com right now to order your pair for only $99. Again, go to tryhearingaid.com to order your pair for only $99. Order now before it's too late, as these hearing aids have sold out over 10 times this year. With Audie and Adam, you can hear life again.